And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Well, like any show, like any Phil Henry show, we've got all kinds of material prepared. We had planned on having Chris Norton on the program. When I say planned, we may still have him on the program, but I'll explain to you what I'm getting at here. We also have Art Griego scheduled to come on our show. Mr. Griego, a former firefighter, and Mr. Norton, who was shooting up until yesterday an adult film in Chatsworth. And apparently some of the actors had to leave because they were booked. They were evacuated from the house they were shooting. And according to him, he's very upset because he had to finish the film. It was just him doing a, quote, solo, where there was a, what am I looking at here, bud?
Double team.
A double team. Okay, never mind. And now the reason why I'm not just launching into a bit tonight is because here in Los Angeles, as you've seen, there is a fire. And we have fires every year. The reason why I'm concerned about this one is it is approaching areas of this city that are very familiar to me and, in fact, are approaching areas of this city where I reside. This place that you may be looking at on your news right now, or perhaps not, this place is called Calabasas. Calabasas is an outer ring suburb of Los Angeles toward the northwest. It contains some beautiful homes. It's a middle-class neighborhood, middle to upper middle to lower middle. I mean, it's got all facets of life there. It is out in some beautiful country. Traditionally, it was ranch land back in the day, and then it was gradually gobbled up by these subdivisions and homes. Thanks, Harry. Harry's bringing me some water. I appreciate it, man. So it's like hell in this town today. You go outside, you can smell crap burning. It's hotter than hell. I feel like crap. I look like crap. It's just crap. Thank you and good night. Phil Henry and the Crap Hour. Excuse me, I gotta drink some.
Jesus, why don't you slap it down? Are you a hog at the trough?
I'm thirsty, okay? I'm looking at this fire. My children are at home. Maria is out of town. The kids are with a babysitter, but I'm, to be perfectly honest with you, wondering how I'm going to get home tonight if I don't leave now. Now, here's why I say that. Now, I'm looking at SigAlert.com, which is a fantastic site, and the 101 North is looking good. I'm not looking at any serious stuff. Last night, when I looked at SigAlert.com, I got to, Mark and I were looking at it, and when I got to around Parkway Calabasas around Valley Circle, it started to slow up, and then it was crawling along until we got up to around, I don't know what the hell, Lost Hills or something like that. Never got below. I did stop at one point, but then we kind of cruised to probably an average of about 25 miles an hour. Everything along the 101 North is looking really good. I find that very hard to believe, and I'll tell you why. If the fire is in Calabasas, and I could see it over the hill today when I was driving into work, I could just see freaking smoke pouring up over that mountain, Las Virgenes. I'm sorry, with no disrespect intended, but I just know how people drive in this town. They're going to slow down and bug-eye that thing and slow everything up behind them. It's human nature. Which means, if they're telling me on SigAlert.com that the freeway is sailing along at 68 miles an hour around Lost Hills, which is exactly where this fire is right now, I ain't believing it. I can't believe it. It's impossible. I feel like that guy Chris Pute's love songs when he found somebody sitting in his chair. Oh, my God. How could you ask a reasonable sentient being to believe that there's a raging fire off the 101 and everybody's just sailing along, singing a song, and oh, yeah, it's just a fire, and they're heading on up to Grandma's house. I ain't buying that for love or money. Now, right now, I'm looking at this right where this fire is, and we're talking Lost Hills, Las Virgenes, Parkway Calabasas, Liberty Canyon, Chesboro. All of those exits record speeds in excess of 65 miles an hour. Are you believing that? So this is my dilemma. Or as I mentioned, my main man, Marlon Brando, last night in Apocalypse Now. That's my dream. That's my nightmare. My dream and my nightmare is this. I got a radio show to do. I got two children sitting at home and my wife out of town, and I'm thinking that I ought to be with them. Now, my house is nowhere near. There's a whole freeway and a lot of other houses between this fire and my house, but it's in the same general area. And the more important consideration is it's in a part of the city that is bordering the main artery that I take to and from work. So it's not so much that my house is going to burn down, is that will I be able to get home tonight as the result of the possibility of that freeway getting shut down? And if the 101 North gets shut down, I don't need to tell Caltrans this, and I sure as hell don't need to tell the CHP this. You shut the 101 North down, and it's, I mean, we may never see our families again. You know, you'll never get home, man. It'll take years to get home. Years. I'd get home faster in a covered wagon. I'd get home faster on a burro with Sister Sarah sitting in front of me. And there I am going, Sister, I don't mind killing him for you, but I'll be damned if I'm going to sweat over him. You ever see Two Mules for Sister Sarah? I know you hate that movie. That's the greatest line ever uttered in a Clint Eastwood movie, man. She's getting attacked by these three bandidos. Clint Eastwood rides up in his poncho, blows all four of these guys away, and because she's a nun, she says, now we must bury these men, for they were sinners, but they deserve a Christian burial. And Eastwood says, I don't mind killing them for you, but I'll be damned if I'm going to sweat over them. Woo! It's beautiful. So you see what I'm saying? How do you feel about that, Harry? What would you do if you were me?
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I'm very serious about it. I sat down. I had this stuff. I looked at the thing. Mark's got the TV on. I'm sitting in the office, you know, and Doug and I are pounding out the show, and I got the fan on because Michelle turned the heater on. I don't know what's going on with you, baby. I think what you need, excuse me for calling you baby, but maybe Michelle, I don't know, man, like some anemia situation going on? Try some iron or something, man. You're cold? And I go, why is it hot? Why is it hot? Man, it's so hot outside that I can feel the hot. I look and that little radiator's on. Turned up to about 100. So I come walking in here not 10 minutes ago and I'm looking at this and it is a freaking conflagration. When this thing started yesterday, I thought it was fairly well contained up around Chatsworth off the 118. Forget it, baby. It's come all the way down from the 118. You can see where it's come from. It's coming from the north to the south. Now, if it pops over the freeway, then it's on its way to Malibu. And more to the point, much more to the point, it's on its way to my house. Far more to the point. Now, I could probably get out of here tonight, go home, walk into my house with a fevered brow, with worry in my heart and a song on my lips, and my kids will be sitting there finishing off their last Go-Gurt, already polishing off the rear end of some Moose Tracks ice cream, burping, farting, playing a video game, and asking me, what are you doing here? I came home to make sure, are you okay? Yeah, why would I? You know, everything's just nice. Crickets, chirp, 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 chirp. Bunny rabbits in the backyard. The cat just, and nothing at all wrong. That's the kind of worrying son of a gun I am. Look at that, they got a chopper flying over the whole thing. Oh. So you'll forgive me, folks. I'm quite literally in the middle of a quandary right here. I suppose we could have Mr. Norton on in a couple of minutes, but if you want to contact him.
I don't know. You want to start talking to him when you're all worried about everything?
I don't know, man. Get him on the phone and we'll see. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Say, friends, if you need to access the greatest repository of comedy in the Western Hemisphere, if you want to go to a website that is about radio and is about great radio material, as opposed to just saying they got a great show, we prove it every day on the website, www.philhenryshow.com, where you can access all of our archive material, all of our 30-day archive, which includes big shows.
But look, why don't you go home, and if everything's okay, you can call us, and you can do the show on the phone.
What?
Go home, and if everybody's still alive, then call us and do it on the phone.
What do you mean if everybody's still alive?
Well, if you go home and everything's burned down and there's charred corpses, you won't be in the mood.
Are you an idiot or something? Why I would be in the mood to blow my brains out if I saw that?
Well, don't overreact.
Don't overreact. What, am I going to go home and find what? My home burned to the ground and charred corpses and what?
Well, then I blow off the show for tonight.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Program Director.
Dad, you're so cynical.
Look at dummy. Not everybody, bud, had a head injury that completely eliminated any ability to feel sense or reason like you. I go home and my home's burnt right down to the foundation.
Yeah.
Why would I want to even live?
Hello, ever heard of insurance payouts? Jesus.
All right, I got to take a break and kill a man.
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna hurt you. 1-800-449-8686.
Not in the face. Gay.
Why, you little... Be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Got a flashback request we're going to get into here so I can collect myself after beating Bud almost to death. That's pretty interesting. Phil, RC is my all-time favorite caller. I heard a bit on the Best of 2002 CD called The Gunner's Daughter with RC Collins and Harvey Wireman. Could you play this on your upcoming show? It's the funniest bit I've heard. Well, maybe not as funny as All You Can Eat Negro, but the second funniest. Thanks, Aaron, Dallas, Texas. It is indeed a classic, Aaron. It's called The Gunner's Daughter. Here it is, R.C. Collins and Harvey Wireman, the original Gunner's Daughter.
Mr. Commandant Wireman, this is Cadet R.C. Collins.
How are you, Cadet?
Fine, sir.
What can I do for you, Mr. Henry?
We have a caller on the line, Joan. You wanted to express some complaints, correct, Joan?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you been listening to this program?
I have not, unfortunately. We are preparing for the Commandant's Ball.
Excuse me. I think you need to request a copy, a tape of your young man's interview. His analogy of the women in America as cattle, filet mignon, sirloin steak, flank steak, and breaking them off in categories.
Yes, ma'am.
And his language. His English grammar is so appalling that I wonder what Bradley's doing.
What language has he?
Now listen to you.
Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You do not use language unbefitting a cadet of the Bradley Military Academy to one of the women of our nation. That's number one. And you have compared women to meat. That's number two. You will kiss the gunner's daughter.
Oh, no, sir, please.
Yes, you will kiss.
What's kiss the gunner's daughter?
He'll be laid over a cannon, and he will be, we use the old Naval Academy flogging, and he will be beaten.
Sir, I don't think...
Yeah, see what you did, Joan? Thanks a lot.
No,
Joan, you didn't do anything wrong. You'll kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below, Mr. Henry, for the makings. Now then...
What do you mean, take him below? I'm doing a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Joan...
Yes.
Yes, this is Commandant Wireman. God bless you and the great service you've done to our nation.
He's doing it to the entire American population, men and women.
Oh, please, I don't want to kiss the gunner's daughter.
You'll kiss the gunner's daughter.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
Well, the gunner is a nickname for my rear end, and his backside will bleed tonight. Joan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm not
Mr.
requesting
Wireman,
anything like
I don't
that, but I think you need to know that.
I'm going
to
beat him until the skin's flayed off of his buttocker area.
I don't know that that's a legal thing to
do. We must. It is legal when the parents turn their children over to us at Bradley. We're a private military installation.
Well, he's been bragging about his father's being very rich.
Well, I know his father is very wealthy.
And
he's a member.
And some people there that are his co-mates have been pulled up by their bootstraps. He's making Bradley a laughing stock.
How dare you?
I wouldn't want my grandson
Collins,
to go there.
Why, you little B-A-S-T-A-R. How do you spell it?
D.
That's right. I can assure you, Joan, he'll be in intensive care by the end of this evening.
Well, I'm not asking for that, but I do think
it's the least we can do.
Program and listen to.
I'd like to offer you, Joan, if you'll give us your address, a photograph of the skin flayed from his rear end.
I don't want that. I don't want that, but I do want...
You do not want that.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you.
No, Commandant Wireman, we don't need that, okay?
I would like to kick him in the face and make blood come from his eyes.
Now
please!
Now you're making me wonder more about the Academy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is to hug the young girls, hug the older women a little longer, and then take the young girls, he said, to a champagne dinner, and then a reception at your home.
Yes.
Filet mignon.
We have the Commandant's Ball, and then I host one of the young virginal debutantes for a nightcap in my quarters.
That's what he said.
Good God.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know how appropriate that is.
Joan, have you
I wondered about that, but I'm not going to
Joan, have you ever seen the commandant's... the commandant...
Okay, Joan, thanks very much.
Well, wait a minute, I was just getting to know her, right? But...
commandant Wireman and... R.C. Collins there, kiss the gunner's daughter, baby. Take him below for the makings. And that one is on our best of 2002. Coming up, we're going to have a segment of a program with Brad Rifkin. And I'll tell you, I'll be very honest with you. It's been a wild year for me, man. Can I just talk to you for a moment about how things have been for Phil Hendry? Last 12 months have been just about as zoo-like for me as I've ever experienced. Tonight, here in Los Angeles, which is where our show originates from, actually not Los Angeles, well, yeah, Sherman Oaks, it's a little insignificant, nothing piece of crap neighborhood. No, I'm just kidding. It's very fine, I guess. Anyway, we're right near the freeway here, and I live about 30 minutes north of L.A., and I live around the area where tonight, how many acres, Mark? 17,000 acres are ablaze. A neighborhood that I know very well, that friends of my kids live in, a school that we know very well, where a lot of the friends that my kids know go to school, Oak Park, I think, is Oak Park High up near where the fire is, and the neighborhood around there is threatened, and it's very difficult for me to be sitting here doing a radio show tonight. Now, I'll tell you this. There are a lot of guys in this business, and there's a tip of the cap to them from me, that will stay on the air no matter what. Well, I ain't one of them. When you hear the announcement, this is an emergency broadcasting system announcement. There is a terrorist attack. Please stay near the radio. We will give you all details. Well, it ain't going to be me giving you the details, that's for sure. Some kind of an idea that when everything, all hell breaks loose, we stick near the microphone while everybody else runs for the bunker. Uh-uh. No. No, I love what I do for a living, but to be quite honest with you, I got my priorities straight, baby. I like what I do for a living, but if I could do something else, I'd do it. If I knew how to do anything else. No, I dig being on the air, man, but tonight I'm looking at this neighborhood. I'm taking a look at the 101 North. It looks pretty good. So before we start to get the looky-loos out, and this fire gets closer to the freeway, and I never get home tonight, I feel that it is my duty, especially with my wife out of town, to head up at least close to where we live and check this thing out. If it's not too bad, bud, well, then I'll turn right around and come back, and it'll probably be about 10:30, and the show will be over.
Yeah, just what I thought.
Yeah, well, you know. Coming up, though, we have a show that we feel is tremendous. In fact, probably better than anything that I had prepped for tonight. Brad Rifkin was a gentleman who was driving kids to school. He's part of the carpool at his school. And when it came time for him to drive his kids and other kids, when it was his turn to drive the kids to school, he got a big kick out of sort of messing with this poor kid who was very quiet. One of the kids that he drove to school was rather quiet, didn't say a lot, and Brad found it very suspicious. So he wanted to toughen him up. Do things like when the kid went to get his backpack out of the back of the car, he'd pull forward so the bag would fall out. He'd make the kid leap from the car while it was still moving. In other words, he's just bullying this poor boy. And tonight we're going to hear a segment of that program on Brad Rifkin and carpooling and how he was abusing this kid. And I just have got to take a look at what's going on, because I'm looking at Calabasas. It's like in freaking flames, man. I don't know what's burning right now. It's probably just brush. You know, when they show you this fire, especially at night, you don't know what is burning. Are they homes or is it just brush? I'm believing that it's just right now brushland, and that the homes are going to be okay, or at least the firefighters are fighting to keep those homes safe. And let me just say this before I forget to, and I don't think I ever could. Those guys fighting those fires every year, man, the best in the business. Los Angeles County, the best. And not only that, Ventura County's there, Orange County's there. I saw all the fire trucks. I saw all the fire agencies from all over the area roaring up the freaking freeway tonight, man. Those guys are the best in the business. Living in a place like this, in a city as big as this, with as many homes and as many people, and with the fire hazard every year, and these guys save a hell of a lot more property than gets destroyed. So I love you guys. Thank you. I'm a little thirsty, so I may see some of you pulled off. Can I get a drink? Because I know you got a lot of water there. And I will see you guys tomorrow night. That's a promise from me to you.
Thanks for the warning.
What?
Thanks for the warning.
Thanks for the warning?
Yeah.
God, that's original, man.
Yeah, thanks for the warning.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Seeing how far the kit can go, that sounds to me, so we're back on the air here with Brad Rifkin. He is a father from the St. Lavelle High School in Las Vegas, Nevada. As a carpooling parent, this one boy caught your attention because he was quiet. Mr. Rifkin, you have stated that you drove the car slowly but didn't bring it to a full stop and dropping the kid off, forcing him to jump. You stated that when you were picking the kid up in the morning, he would, he would reach for the car handle and you'd speed it ahead 20 feet, then he'd reach for the car handle again. And how many times would you do this?
Well, look, that's not the point. The point is, as a advertising executive...
No, wait a minute. I want to get this clear. The other thing is putting a pink sock on the kid and then pulling the car forward and making his bags fall out, his books fall out of the book bag, all the while knowing that the kid is picked on.
Yes, but as an advertising executive, you study people. It's what I do. And how people react is how I judge what is viable in an advertising campaign. How are people going to react or receive information? And I'm, in a lot of ways, Mr. Henry, I'm a social scientist. And to watch a young man who is quiet and my kids tell me that he's bookish, and that's fine. I think kids should read books. But why doesn't he talk? Because people like me, I'm outgoing. You see that?
Well, you stated that makes you guys like you nervous.
Yes, it does. And I'm not saying that I can't take it. I can take it. My kids can take it. But... is it any wonder that a lot of these quiet guys, you know, get beat up or whatever because they won't just go ahead and go along with the joke. And so...
And in other words, to see how much this kid could take, you made him jump out of a moving car.
5 miles an hour, Mr. Henry. I would like to be very clear. The car's barely rolling.
5 miles an hour is 5 miles an hour. The car's moving. And for a kid like that who may not have all the coordination in the world... You know,
well, that's what I'm saying. Because he's quiet, you automatically think that the kid is a spaz or something like that.
I didn't say he's a spaz. What do you mean a spaz?
You said he jumped and tripped over the seatbelt.
Isn't that what you said?
Yes, sir. But I'm not assuming the kid's a spaz. I'm saying that...
Sir, the word spaz, you could say uncoordinated.
You could say he's uncoordinated. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he tripped over the seatbelt. That's all.
1-800-449-8686. Michelle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. You know what? I just want to say to Brad, that's your name, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that not only was your experiment on this child totally out of line, it not being your child, it also doesn't tell you anything about anybody. You can't tell anything about that kid's intelligence by the way he reacted. And
What are you, a psychologist or something? I mean, I don't...
No, I am that child. I grew up that way, with people tormenting me.
All right, can I ask you something? Were you, when you were a kid, were you spastic or, you know, uncoordinated?
I have a visual disability. I was taken out into the woods and people took my glasses away and left me in the woods to find my way out.
Did that toughen you up?
Did it toughen me up?
Yes, ma'am.
It made me very angry.
Take a kid's glass.
It didn't make me want to talk to anyone, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you one thing that you don't know. You say you don't understand why this kid doesn't talk to you, and
well,
I'll tell you why. He instinctively doesn't like you because he knows what kind of a person you
ma'am,
are.
No, ma'am, look, if a kid grows up with the perception that he's, and forgive me, Mr. Andrew, if a kid grows up in the perception he's some kind of a retard, he's not going to make his way in this world.
You're extremely wrong. Until I became a mother, I made $35,000 a year defect mapping silicon carbide crystals. And I was considered a retard by people like you when I was a child.
Let me ask you a question. You're a young lady. You're wearing glasses, and you're working on, what is it again? Carbide.
Silicon carbide.
Okay. What kind of a man? In other words, you were a nerd.
So?
Well, in this world...
Hold on for a minute. I just got done watching a thing yesterday on TV about the NASA program.
Mr. Henry, can I finish?
Well, wait a minute. The guys that got us on the moon were freaking nerds, okay? The guy...
Look at they were not.
They went to the moon. Where did you go?
John Glenn was not a nerd. He was a Marine.
The guys that were sitting at Mission Control in Houston were all pocket protector nerds.
Right. Excuse me. Now, see, the two of you... This is what they... Do you remember the movie Revenge of the Nerds?
That's what I got here. I got nerds now ganging up on
me. Well, you have your nerds, and then you have your pigs, and then you have people in between, and I would guess you'd be the opposite extreme from
Well, ma'am, if you want to call me names, I'm not calling anybody names.
You just called me a nerd.
Wait, is that so bad? What is
and,
that a horrible...
And by the way, you know... Why do you keep saying you're an advertising exec? Who cares?
Because that's what I do. I study people.
What are you selling to 10-year-old kids?
I study. You're kidding, right? I mean, that's a huge market.
Sell?
It's a huge market. And I will tell you that, see, you grew up to be sarcastic, cynical, and angry. You're right.
Because of people like you, yes.
No, I didn't. You didn't do it. I didn't do it to you. Some other kids did.
You're helping to do it to that other kid.
No. No.
And
did anybody force you to jump out of a moving car?
You know what?
Car?
If I were that
parent,
I would have you put in jail.
Can I ask you
a make
question?
Your kid jump out of a moving vehicle?
Can I ask you a question? Did you ever jump out of a moving box car? Yes or no?
No, certainly not.
Okay. My kids have.
Okay, good for them.
There you go. They hopped the freight.
There's all
they've experienced
different kinds
life.
Of people in the world. Maybe your kids will never be able to learn calculus either.
What if my kids learn calculus and they've jumped out of a boxcar? Ooh.
Ooh, well.
Got you there. Got you there.
Like that in the
well, all right, look. Who cares about your kid? Did you make them jump out of a boxcar?
My kids went up to the trusses here and to the Union Pacific coming down to Las Vegas, and they hopped the freight and rode it all the way into the rail yard in Las Vegas. And I said, now that's the way they used to travel in the Depression when there wasn't any money for travel. And, you know, you're not a nerd.
Okay.
So this kid that I forced to jump out of the car, big deal. My kids jumped out of a boxcar.
Yeah, but you know,
I told that
that's
kid,
not
I said,
kid.
Look,
you have no right
I said,
to take
Colin, would you like to know what
children.
It's like to jump out of a boxcar? And he said, not really. I said, well, looks like you're going to learn anyway.
All right, look, Michelle, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Laura, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just want to say to this guy, has he been in high school lately? Does he know what it's like?
Have I been in high school? Of course I went to high school.
Yeah, you don't know what it's like to be in high school.
Wait. There's always peer pressure. There's always peer pressure in high school. I understand that.
Oh, do you know what it's like to have all kinds of drugs all through the high school?
When I went to high school, there were drugs.
He's
LSD.
Going through all this kinds of stuff. And instead of being a nice guy and taking him to and from school, you're going to torment him on his way to school, on his way home. That's what he gets to look for.
I don't think it's torment so much as it's teaching
him. Tormenting the poor kid. You're moving the flipping car so he can't get in. I used to do that to my kid, my friends, when I was a fucking freshman.
You did it to your friends. You did it to your friends, so you're cruel?
Yeah, when I was a freshman,
so
when I was 14 years old. How old are you now?
Wait, ma'am, can I ask you a question? What are you doing driving a car when you're 14? Gotcha.
I lived in South Dakota.
Yeah, gotcha.
South Dakota, we can drive when we're 14. Do I have any more questions?
What? And how old do you have to be? Okay.
Kid.
And let me answer this. How old do you got to be married in South Dakota? 14. Thank you.
Just like everyone else.
All right, look.
No, but I'm this lady lives in South Dakota. I live in Las Vegas.
Talk to me. Let's hear it, dude.
Okay. You live in South Dakota. I live in Las Vegas. Next point.
Wait a minute. You live in Las Vegas. She lives in South Dakota.
Okay, I win that one. The next point I want to make.
What do you win? What do you win?
I live in a place where there are, like, people and not just, you know, wind.
Oh, I don't live in a place where there's people. I live in a town of 52,000 people. There's not enough people there for me to know what it's like to be in high school.
Ma'am, you live...
Vegas.
Man, there's more wind.
Ma'am, don't talk to me like you know me.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't talk to me like you know me.
I've heard what you do to this kid.
Wait a second.
I spent my entire high school defending people that were treated like that because of people like you.
Wait a minute. You just got done saying you made your kids, your friends race after the car.
Yeah, because they were my friends when I was 14 years old.
Ma'am, you live in a town with so few people.
And how are you treating this little kid like that?
I'm toughening him up.
You're making a kid jump out of a moving car. You made your sons jump out of a moving box car. You had this, what was this thing about this, Colin? You said, Colin, there's no room in the car today. Will you get on the roof?
Yes, it was a joke.
Did you make the kid get on the roof?
The kid was he was spastic enough, he tried to get up there.
Spastic enough? Look it, you're dealing with a 15-year-old boy. You're an adult man. You say to the guy, will you get on the roof? There's no room in the car. He starts climbing on the roof. The poor kid is an introvert. You call him a spaz.
Guys like that make guys like me nervous. That's all I'm saying.
I hope it make you nervous because you're a freak, dude.
Hey, you know something? You're the one that was rolling over your friends or whatever you were doing when you were 14.
Oh, yeah, I was rolling over my friends because when I was 14-year-old, I was goofing around with my friends. How old are you?
Didn't you say that's what you did?
I said I moved the car just like you did when I was 14 years old.
You didn't say car. You said you learned how to... You didn't say car. You said tractor or something like that because you...
Yeah, it's a tractor. I've never driven a tractor in my life.
Then how come you get to drive at 14?
Because that's how the laws are there.
Yeah, the laws are like that so you could go out and help, collect corn cobs in the morning.
Awesome. I don't live in a farm. I live.
Watch the language. Watch the language. She gone? We had to dump her. Sorry.
Did you hear the language on that kid? She's in South Dakota. She had as friends when she was a kid. You know what her friends were? Tumbleweeds. There were no people. She just went, oh, how you doing, Marty? A tumbleweed would go by. And she's trying to tell me.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Brad Rifkin and toughening up kids, or is it sadistically making fun of them? He's a father operating a carpool, and won't even stop the car to let the kid step out, makes him jump out. The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
Every time you open your mouth, you sink into a bigger swamp of dumb.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Mr. Rifkin, I would rather not the word spaz be used. I would rather the word retard not be used.
I don't mean that in the literal sense. I'm just saying my kids, when I made them jump out of that boxcar off the Santa Fe, I just didn't want them to be known as the spaz of the school. And
in other words, for your kids not to be known as some kind of a nerd, you made them jump out of boxcars or ride to school on the roof of the SUV.
Yes, sir.
Did you have them tied down with bungee cord?
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you something. I'm a former football coach. I know what it is to teach young men how to be tough. And I will tell you that this young boy, this Colin Hunter, I tried to talk to the wife because the husband was insane. This guy went wild on me. But I said to the wife, unless you want your kid to grow up to be one of these pencil pushers, you got to toughen him up. And I said, that's the only reason, okay, why we had him tied to the back of the car like that.
Yeah, but you've got the kid tied to the back of the car on some kind of a skateboard?
No, it was not a skateboard. No, sir, it was a pallet board.
You pulled this kid to school tied on a pallet board?
I don't know where you come from, but...
Where I come from? No, we don't do that.
Well, where I come from, we do.
1-800-449-8686. Sheila, go ahead.
My name is Sheila Barton, and I am a mental health professional. I'm a licensed clinical social worker.
Perfect.
And anyway, I think this guy ought to be in jail. Cruelty ain't cool. He has his values so messed up. He has no empathy. Empathy is the most important thing in relating to other people.
This guy
is cruel. He's abusive. He could possibly permanently injure other kids. I work in a psychiatric hospital, plus do private practice, and most of the people in our hospital are overly aggressive. They have no idea of empathy or how to relate to other people, and he equates cruelty with being tough.
Well, ma'am, if I may say, it has to do with empathy and morals.
You have no morals.
If I may say. If you were doing your job, we wouldn't have all these nerds running around.
Hey,
okay?
Nerds,
so it's
I have
left
a
to me
major
to deal
general
with the nerds.
For a brother. I have another brother that's a senior vice president of...
That's your brother. I'm talking about what you do for a living.
Yeah,
you said you're a mental health nurse.
Well, I do a good job because...
If you
I
do a good
people,
job, why are
and
we...
I am not a coward.
Well, ma'am,
but
can I
ask
you...
But I see people like you. You ought to be in jail. You
if
are
you were doing your job, why are we crawling with nerds?
Hey, what is a nerd? You are a nerd.
What is a nerd? I'll tell you what a nerd is. A kid
Hey, a nerd is like Bill Gates, and he would be your boss. I bet you have an IQ of about 90.
A kid that can jump out of a car at 5 miles an hour. My two boys jumped out of a boxcar going...
We know already with your boys going out of the boxcar.
All you care about is that you think you're a hotshot executive.
Let me ask you a question.
And that's your identity, and that you're aggressive.
Let me ask you a question, ma'am.
Oh, that's not admirable to me.
Ma'am, let me ask you a question. Have you ever jumped from a boxcar, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then you know what I'm talking
about. I used to hitchhike. I was stupid when I was younger. I used to hitchhike. I grew up in the 60s.
All right. Then you know what I'm talking about.
I took railroad cars and, you know, was an idiot at that time because I was stupid and naive and trusted people.
If you allowed that experience to shape you, then you would have been a better mental health nurse and we wouldn't be crawling infested with nerds.
I am a therapist.
What do you mean crawling with nerds?
And you need to be in a mental hospital or locked up behind bars. You are dangerous to society. You help create people
wait,
like
I
Columbine.
I haven't killed anybody.
People,
I haven't hurt anybody.
There you go. That's
you
the
are
bullying
a bully.
Thing.
Way you, help, you help your kids learn to be bullied. You are what's wrong with the society.
You
and
sound like that
why
priest that
we have such a
school.
Violent society because of people like you, and you're so
you know
ignorant.
What? You
don't
see,
don't
the thing
realize.
That I like about this is she sounds just like that nerd priest that called me from the school.
You're the biggest nerd I ever heard. You are a monster.
I'm a nerd.
I'm not a monster.
I'm not a nerd. I know how to jump out of a car.
All right.
Oh, that's real admirable.
Well, do you know how? Okay, my
you don't know what I've done.
You know, lady.
You think aggressiveness and bulliness and all that matters.
Thanks
for all the nerds we got.
So
thanks for creating nerds.
You ought to go over and enjoy
I gotta take a break.
The terrorists.
Enjoy the terrorists? Because
you should be
at least the terrorists and the nerds.
Are
we are being terrorized by nerds because of you.
We are terrorized by people like you that are making our society have no
rights. The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I just think it's wrong to treat kids that way.
Mr. Henry, I have been an educator. I have been a... Hold on. There's somebody at the door. Hold on. Yes?
Mr. Rifkin, I'm Colin Hunter. I'm the kid that you make fun of.
Hey, yeah, you're the spaz.
Yeah? You think I'm a spaz?
Yeah.
Dance. I said to dance.
Hey, wait a minute, kid.
What, has he got a gun?
Yeah, he's got a gun. Dance.
Come on.
Yeah, dance. All right, I'm dancing. I'm dancing, kid, please. I'm dancing.
If you ever hurt me again.
He got me.
You there, kid?
Who's this?
Mr. Henry?
I never heard of you.
Okay, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
I'm a goner.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.